The idea of Dublin directly electing its mayor has been part of the political discussion in this country for decades. In Ireland, only Limerick elects its own executive mayor. Internationally, the likes of Zoran Mamdani in New York and Sadiq Khan in London regularly make news headlines. But in a world where mayors often find themselves at odds with their national governments, should we be giving them more power? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Shane Beattie. Recently, the Bloomberg LSE European City Leadership Initiative gathered 30 mayors from all around Europe with the aim of teaching them how to make the most of their role. Among the 30, Dublin's Ray McAdam was the only mayor who had not been directly elected. By 2050, 70% of the world's population is expected to be living in cities. And as we prepare for that urban future, should we be granting mayors more responsibilities and resources? Or could the era of superpowered mayors risk major political headaches? In a few minutes, we'll hear from one Dublin politician who strongly supports the idea of a directly elected mayor for the capital. But first, I'm joined on the podcast by Ricky Burdett. And Ricky is Professor of Urban Studies at the London School of Economics and co-chair of the Bloomberg LSE European City Leadership Initiative. Ricky, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Am I right in saying you teach mayors how to be mayors?
How to be better mayors.
Right, okay. Tell us more about that initiative, because that's fascinating. You had 30 of them recently.
Yeah, this is a new project which builds on many years of experience at our institution of working with the people who run cities and just making them more effective, more efficient in terms of two or three things. One is literally leadership. I mean, how can you be a better leader? What does that mean? How do you build a team around you? Particularly in some cases, mayors come from different disciplines. They may be lawyers or doctors or whatever else. How do you actually build the right team? Another thing is, how do you use data in a world where data is becoming more and more available? And then the third area is, how do you talk to your citizens so that they understand you? So those are the sorts of issues that we're dealing with these 30 mayors this year. But we're doing this for the next 4 years. Importantly, we're not just dealing with the mayor who's in power today, but also the next generation of leaders. So younger, more junior staff are being exposed to a similar program.
How did the training go? Can we be confident now European mayors will be far better at their jobs?
We started the program at the beginning of October. And this first cohort of mayors, we end up in June. So I can answer that question much better in June. Because in a way, we've also, we're working, it's not just abstract. Each of the mayors has come to us with a real challenge. What's the problem facing the city of Turin? What's the problem, key issue, policy area that has to be dealt with in the city of Sarajevo or Oslo or Dublin or Limerick? Because I think you know that both Limerick and Dublin are represented. By the end of this training sequence, one is hopeful that the policies, the stuff on the ground, the projects that the mayors are able to sort of promote are better informed and probably more effective. Not that we're expecting the city to change in 9 months, but in a way, the approach to delivering effective policy on the ground.
Mayors have an awful lot more power now than they did years ago. Why do you think the role of mayor has risen so much in prominence in recent years?
Mayors in some cities have more powers than they used to. It's not everywhere, right? And by the way, not just in Europe. I mean, globally, let me just give you one obvious example. The mayor of London has many more powers on a number of things, including transport, than Mamdani, the new and exciting mayor of New York City. Why? Because the transport infrastructure in New York City is actually not determined by the city, but by the state of New York. So in that sense, it really depends where you are in the world. And in Europe, there are very, very different models of that, which I'm sure also in Ireland, that's a, you know, you're familiar with those issues. But yeah. Going back to your big question, which is, are mayors having more powers or more impact? I nearly turn it around. Mayors are having to face more real issues on the ground than they've ever had to face before. Climate change. If there's a fire outside in Los Angeles, who's going to deal with it? The mayor. You have people coming, migrants from different populations who need to be accommodated in your city, who's going to deal with it? Well, the mayor of Turin, for example, or the mayor of Madrid. So in that sense, I think they're much more on the front line than they've ever been before. And this is sort of shifting a little bit the power balance. The mayor of London, which is a very new thing. I mean, it's only 25 years we've had a mayor. Every 4 or 5 years gets a bit more power, so that national government, you know, let's a little bit more go of the grip that they have on local politics. But it's different in different places. But yeah, that's the trend.
And what model do you think works best? I'm wondering, do you think cities with a certain population figure and above should have a directly elected mayor? Do you think that's the best model?
Yes, would be. But there's one important issue to raise, which is, one thing is, you know, where is the population? Where does the population live? And then the next question is, where does the power, literally the jurisdiction of the mayor, start and end, right? So if we take Dublin and you take a satellite view of where people live and work, it's pretty widespread, right? The power of the mayor, and I know in the case of Dublin, it's not elected, is a more restricted part of that. That model creates all sorts of problems. So in Paris, for example, the mayor of Paris, fantastic woman, very active, big transformations in the more central areas, is a population of only 2 million in a metropolitan area of 11 million. So they can't really resolve some of the bigger issues which are to do with air pollution and sort of big transport questions. Therefore, back to your question, I think a directly elected mayor over the region where people work and live and vote is the sort of the better solution. You can't ignore that question of where the footprint, the mayoral authority starts and ends.
Right, but would that role not be filled by ministers, cabinet ministers in government who could do those jobs?
When you say can do those jobs, I'm sure they can, and many of them rather like doing that because, you know, they have powers. But then you lose that immediate interface that I discussed. The mayor has to understand, practically be able to walk the streets and know what the neighborhood issues are. The minister will not do that. You know, the minister is dealing with the housing crisis in the north of the country and in the south of the country. The minister for planning will have to deal with whether to allow greenfield development in all sorts of different conditions, while the mayor is actually there talking to the different communities, if they're a good mayor and they're able to do that, and understand what that dynamic is. So, yes, of course, you have power further up, let's call it the political food chain, but I don't think, from my experience, that necessarily delivers the sort of immediate changes we need on the ground. I mean, just think of the, you know, the crisis I've been talking about. A government minister is not going to be able to check whether the fire hydrants work.
Is the best kind of mayor then, the most effective kind of mayor for the people of a city, one who is directly elected, who has a lot of money and a big budget?
Well, you know, money is never just the solution. I guess back to my point, what's missing and the ingredients you've just proposed to me is the vision. A mayor has to have a very, very clear vision of what he or she wants to do with their city in the next 5 to 10 years, right? He has to get the people to support that, the voters to support that. And then if he does it well, he or she will get reelected. And if he doesn't, he gets kicked out, okay? Having a budget is an important component on it, but the ability to leverage money from, say, central government is just as important. So let's go back to the London example where I'm talking to you from. The mayor of London is the chair of the Transport for London, the big transport agency for London.
Yes.
Much of the money it comes from central government. So, you know, he's there negotiating the table. And boy, does it help if the prime minister happens to be politically aligned, which is the case right now. You have a Labour mayor and a Labour central government. That was not the case a year and a half ago.
Mm. We have a directly elected mayor in Limerick, John Moran, who's a former Secretary General at the Department of Finance, and even he's struggling to get the funding and to get what he would like done in his city.
I don't think you'll find one mayor who's totally satisfied with the model that they're operating. John, of course, is one of the two Irish representatives in this year's Bloomberg LSE European City Leadership Programme. So very, very familiar. The most interesting thing for the mayor, for John, say, is that he's sitting with another 29 mayors, some of whom have exactly the same problems and have tried to, in a way, deal with the issues of funding, powers, etc., in different ways. So learning from each other is just as much as learning from the professors.
Yes. And what you will probably find with those 30 mayors that you've been dealing with so far is that a lot of them will be on a collision course sometimes with their national government. I'm just wondering, why do governments like to have directly elected mayors when regularly we see those same mayors criticise the governments who create the option for them to apply for the job through the electorate?
Well, for the very, very simple reason that if one believes in democracy, then a level of devolution comes with that. There isn't a consensus necessarily around the nations of Europe as how much power the mayors have. It depends also quite a lot on, let's call it, the political culture. Think France. Quite a lot of the mayors who either run Paris or Lyon or whatever have actually gone up to become prime ministers or even presidents, right?
Yeah.
That is unlikely to happen in other parts of Europe. So that relationship is also deeply political in terms of the culture. How has the, I guess I would even call it the political DNA of the country emerged? Italy, which is a country where I spent much of my time, emerged over the last 300, 400, 500 years as different city states, right? You've got Rome, you've got Milan, you've got Naples. They all have their own deep embedded culture of being a member of you know, that community. That makes a big difference in terms of the attitude even of central government, or not just that attitude, the possibility of control as you go down the food chain. In terms of devolution, different countries are much more committed to devolution than others.
Okay, stay with us, please, Ricky. We're also joined on the podcast today by Janet Horner, chair of the Green Party. Janet's also a councillor in Dublin's North Inner City. And Janet, you're welcome to News Talk Daily. You've been listening very patiently to Ricky there. What's your initial thoughts about what he's been saying, even picking up on that last point?
I mean, I think like a directly elected mayor is such an obvious and important and immediate win for Dublin. I think it would really help us offer a more cohesive vision for the city. Dublin is on the front line of so many of the crises that Ireland is facing at the moment, and different or challenges at least that Ireland is facing in terms of transport, in terms of housing, in terms of climate. It is Dublin is the city that is carrying the huge enormity of the population, as well as the kind of all the institutions and the opportunity, I guess, to really properly address those challenges. The fact that we are consistently relying on, as the city, going to central government to ask for money, to ask for permission a lot of the time to go ahead with the things that we believe as a city council is the right thing for Dublin. You know, it's not the right way to run a city, in my opinion.
Mm. There would be an argument, though, Janet, that if public representatives were better at their jobs, then you wouldn't need to put such a focus on directly elected mayors.
But we don't have, we have 63 councillors elected. We don't have a single governing structure that the people really chose and elected. Each one of those 63 councillors often went out with very differing visions and ideas for what they were trying to offer to people. And inevitably, because there is not the power there to really offer a vision for the city as a whole, people, councillors, when they are standing on the front door in the local election time, they are talking to people about the hyper-local issues of their own streets, their own communities, instead of what the city as a whole ought to look like and ought to function like. And if the powers were there to really deliver a vision like that, then suddenly you start getting people talking about that, you get them interested in it, and it becomes really relevant to stand in the doorstep with people and say, you know, tell me about your vision for the transport system of Dublin. Whereas at the moment, I can talk to the cows come home about what I think Dublin transport ought to be and isn't at the moment, but I can't promise that I can deliver that because it's just beyond the power that we have within the city council as 63 quite disparate elected representatives. And our role is reduced a lot of time to being like chief advocate for a community instead of decision maker and leader of delivering a vision.
So how would our capital city look different if we had a directly elected mayor?
I mean, I'm going to pick transport as the one that I think would be hugely impacted by it. You know, we have dozens of different transport groups operating within Dublin, between Dublin Bus, TFI, TII, Lewis Company, you know, Dublin City Council itself. There's a whole range of different bodies that are operating within the transport space. And we don't have a real unified structure to bring them together and say, how are we all operating in a really integrated way to serve the interests of the people of Dublin, as opposed to serve the interests of those various different companies and groupings. And I think an elected body, a political representative that is going out and saying, this is how the transport system ought to work in Dublin, and bringing with the power to bring those different agencies together and get a cohesive shared structure in place.
Okay.
I think that would be a game changer for how we could ensure a smoother, better operating system for the citizens of Dublin, as opposed to for the different companies that operate within the city.
People love to compare Dublin and Limerick. The fact Dublin doesn't have a directly elected mayor and Limerick does. We have seen since John Moran took over as directly elected mayor of Limerick that he's had projects which have been blocked. He struggled to get money for some projects. He hasn't had enough staff available. Would we not run the risk that the same could happen in Dublin?
We certainly would. And I like any mayor, any directly elected mayor that has a vision big enough for Dublin should have a lot of projects that they want to see done for the city. And inevitably, there is going to be not always the resources to deliver all of those. But I think, is there a driving force there? Is there a recognition from central government that, for example, revenue raising powers need to be delegated better towards cities? Because at the moment, we as Dublin have so limited powers to raise our own revenue, and we are hugely reliant on grants from central government. So that's one thing that if we were to change that, and that remains the case in Limerick at the moment. So John is very restricted, I think, in his capacity to actually raise revenue within his own city. You know, there's numerous things that we change, but if we properly empower cities to raise revenue, make decisions, and set their own priorities, then it will make a huge difference.
Right. Ricky, can I just put the point to you that Ireland is quite a small country. We've a population of 5 million. I guess, you know, a city like Manchester with a population of 3 million has the mayor, and obviously then they have their prime minister. Does a country with the population the size of Ireland really need directly elected mayors, or would one leader not be enough? We're not that big a place.
Hearing what Jana is saying, the answer is yes, because in the end, it's not just a numeric issue. It's a reflection of how the country is organized and what people need on the ground. What Jana was talking about in terms of, you know, being able to deliver, say, transport efficient, but, you know, larger scale transport plans. Right? There isn't a magic number above or below which that is necessary. The only thing I would add to what's been said is that it's not just a question of, you know, the powers and the money. It's also time. Some of these projects take 5, 10, 15 years to actually realize. Only a couple of years ago in London had the Elizabeth line. It's taken 25 years and something like £30 billion of money to actually get it done. And boy, does it make a difference to life for Londoners at many levels. But one interesting technique we have, which is a political technique, the mayor has to produce every 5 years a London plan which looks forward 25 years. And it sets out very clear priorities. And as I said before, you can either be elected again for another 5 years, or if no one likes the London plan, you sort of get kicked out. But that gives you a direction of travel, and you have to have a direction of travel in the major cities.
No, I'm just chuckling to myself because we have a metro that was first promised here in Ireland in 2000, and now we're 26 years on and still no sign of it. So just to give that comparison, Janet, closer to home, you are aware, you know what I'm going to ask you. People will say, well, if we had a directed elected mayor, God knows who would get it. It could be some populist. I remember in the past, people were saying Jedward could become the mayor, Dustin the Turkey, Conor McGregor. What about those sort of concerns that it could be a populist or controversial figure who would get the role?
That's a concern with democracy as a whole. It's not a concern with a directly elected mayor. You know, people can elect mad people if they so choose, and sometimes they do. But that is the fundamental concept of democracy: is we trust the wisdom of the people, and we have plenty of examples around the world of where the wisdom of the people may fall short of what we wish it would. But that is democracy, and that is how the system that we opt into when we choose to do so. So I don't really accept any argument that would say that we can trust the people only so far as to govern their own city.
Okay, Ricky, your advice then finally to Irish politicians: give the people of Dublin a directly elected mayor, or give them a referendum even on the option of it. Yeah.
Yes, but to not fall into the trap that Janet has just described. You know that you yes no referendum. You need to explain what the benefits are. And I think that's have an informed discussion to then provide a directly elected mayor to the capital of your country, I think, is what the city deserves and should absolutely be articulated and put to the vote.
All right. Well, Ricky and Janet, thank you. Oh, Janet, sorry, by the way, is the reason you're on this podcast because you want to be the mayor of Dublin?
I think it would be amazing. I would absolutely adore the opportunity to be the directly elected mayor of Dublin. I have vision and ideas that I would absolutely love the opportunity to implement. And if it ever were to come to pass, like, let's see what the future holds.
Janet,
but yeah.
Can we invite you then to join the Bloomberg LSE program?
I would love to do that as well.
Okay, well, potential future Mayor Horner and Ricky Burdett, thank you both for being here on News Talk Daily. That's it from us for today. Don't forget you can listen back to every episode of the podcast on the Go Loud player. And please be sure to give us a like and a follow so you never miss your daily fix. For now, from me, Shane Beattie, bye-bye.